This morning we're going to do something a little different. We were scheduled to look at the whole concept of surrender. And after much prayer this morning and having pondered this, I feel it's necessary that we not just run through this real quick. I want us to grasp this. I want us to internalize it. I want us to understand what it is to surrender. And so we're going to look at the first point in your bulletin. If you have your bulletins and you're looking at the sermon notes, you will see the title, Surrender Is, and the first point is a decision of the mind, and that's all we're going to do this morning. Because my hope is we will internalize this, we will apply it, we will grow in it, and then next week we're going to come back and we're going to deal with the desire of the heart, the determination of our will, and then, in fact, we're going to get to the point where it's surrender is the channel from which God's blessings flow. One of the reasons why I want to just kind of take a little bit slow is because my heart is I want the best for you all. I want the best for me as well, and I want God's best for you. And God's best is to bless you abundantly and overflowingly. And that's my heart for all of us, is to experience the blessings of God. In the spring of 1993, Leadership Magazine published the following account, and this account was a story, and it goes as following. The captain of the ship looked into the dark night, and he saw faint lights in the distance. Immediately, the captain told his signalman to send a message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. Promptly, a return message was received. Alter your course 10 degrees north. The captain was angered. His command had been ignored, so he sent a second message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am the captain. Soon, another message was received. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am Seaman Third Class Jones. Immediately, the captain sent a third message, knowing the fear it would evoke. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship. Then the reply came. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse. You know, we can chuckle at that because the captain of the battleship was in a discussion trying to get an immovable object to move. But isn't that what we do as people? What we call each other out and each time playing the cards of status, achievement, and even position which we hold. The troublesome fact about this is our nature is to interact with God on this same basis. And I'm going to say this again. The troublesome fact is that's our nature to interact with God on the same basis, trying to tell God what to do to move, trying to manipulate God into our little world so that we get what we want. In fact, we try to tell God all about our achievements. I did this, I did that, I went here, I went there. We try to clamor to God about all of our positions, and we try to impress God with all our stuff, our possessions, and even our deepest desires. And we go to the Lord telling him what we want. We approach the Lord with our own agenda. We come to the Holy of Holies, and we say this and that. We bring our life and expect the Lord to approve it. And worse yet, we expect God to bless it. There is no surrender in that type of thinking. There's no surrender in that type of interaction with the Lord. Friends, we can call out to the Lord all we want and tell him we are a battleship and we are here and we are there and we have done this and we have done that. We want this and we expect that. But God is immovable, just as the lighthouse called back to the battleship and said, "You choose. Keep your course and suffer the consequences, or surrender or yield and experience the blessing." You see, we all have a choice. Every day, every moment of each day, we can surrender to God and yield our lives to God and experience the blessing of the Lord, or we can ask God and expect him to move and truly, in fact, suffer the consequences. I have to wonder what our world would look like if the Church of Jesus Christ would practice surrendering to the Lord. I mean, not just surrendering when we get what benefits us. In fact, in a few moments, we're going to meet around the Lord's table, and all of us who have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, at that moment, we surrendered. But I have to wonder how many of us surrendered to Christ only so we could escape hell. I have to wonder who of us surrendered to God at that moment just because we wanted what God could do for us. And in fact, my friends, I still wonder what the world would look like when we surrender to the Lord, when it's unpleasant, when it's difficult, when it makes no sense, and when it even hurts. I'm going to tell you what the world would look like here this morning. We would not be experiencing a decline in the churches across America. Yes, the churches would be full. We would see manifestations of the Spirit of God poured out upon this world in a majestic and wonderful way, which would draw people to Jesus. We would embrace and live out the will and desire of the Lord Most High in such a way that people would, in fact, flock to Christ. People would be healed, people would be changed, and people would be freed. People would be full of joy, and people would experience the kingdom of God. Now, there's some of you here this morning that are thinking this thought right now, that that's not possible. We won't see anything, any harmony of that sort of thing until we are all in heaven, where perfection reigns and we are in the presence of the Lord continually. I'm going to tell you this morning that by thinking that thought, you have chosen to not surrender to the will of God. You have enacted your thoughts. You have chosen to embrace them rather than the will and desire of God. This is why I don't want to just run through it, because it starts in our mind. And if our minds are set up against God and what God wants to do, we will never fully surrender. And quite frankly, friends, we will never experience the fullest blessing of the living God who wants to bless you and bless you abundantly. What I hope we're seeing is that surrender is not a one-time action. It's not coming to Christ and surrendering. Surrender to the Lord is a daily, and sometimes for me, it's a moment-by-moment action which causes me to always check my motives and check my actions in life. This morning, we're going to peer into the life of a righteous man spoken of in the Bible. The Bible tells us Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. He believed, but I want to share with you that he did much more than just believe. He desired God, and he determined to yield his will to God. The first three points in your bulletin, as I mentioned, they are the steps to the saving faith. It's desiring of the mind, a decision of the mind, a desire of the heart, and a determination of the will. Three steps to saving faith in Jesus Christ has to include the mental, the emotional, and the volitional. Any one of those three removed, and it is not true saving faith, because you and I will be trying to enact our life and place it up against the Lord. And so we have the decision of the mind, the desire of our heart, and the determination of our will. Abraham exhibited all three. If we had more time over the next couple weeks, we could pick up Abraham's life in chapter 12 of Genesis, and we could trace all three of these components throughout the biblical account of his life. And friends, we would see the consistency of Abraham, deciding in his mind and desiring in his heart and determining in his will to follow, to yield, to surrender to the Lord. I hope that as we look at the life of Abraham, we will answer the questions, what does it mean to surrender? What does it look like practically, and how does a person truly surrender to their life to God? But in your bulletin, as I mentioned, there's a fourth point. Surrender is the channel which God's blessings flow. I told you that my hope and my desire and what I want for all of you is to be blessed and blessed abundantly by the living Lord. And this is the channel to be blessed. This is the channel from which God will pour out his goodness, his grace, his mercy, his peace, his truth, his joy, his abundance for life. It's the only channel. It's the channel from which he sheds his blessings. And we all want to be blessed. We all want God's favor. Friends, here it's the path to receive it, surrender. The definition of surrender is to yield something, to give oneself up, to give oneself up to some influence or course, to give up, to abandon or to relinquish, to yield or to resign. This morning we're going to look at an event in Abraham's life which is the pinnacle event that will forever and has forever classified him as a man of integrity and faithfulness. If you brought your Bibles, I certainly hope you have. Turn to Genesis chapter 22. Now this morning we're only going to look at verses 1 through 3 because we're only dealing with the first point here this morning. But I want us to recognize that Abraham didn't simply wake up one morning and hear the Lord putting him to the test and pass it successfully. No, Abraham had a lifetime of experiences which led up to this event. They were all experiences of surrendering to the Lord. We could look at Genesis chapter 12 and we would see that he left his family, his community, his relatives, his comfortable surroundings, the predictability of life and his security. Why? Because God said to go. Go to a place that he would show him. And friends, he did not have any history with the Lord. He came from the land of the Ur of the Chaldeans. His father made idols in that land. And so Abraham had no history with God. All he knew is he was told something, and he surrendered, he yielded his life, and he went. We could pick up again in chapter 15. We would find the promise given to Abraham by God and the covenant made between God and Abraham. And the promise consisted of Abraham being blessed with a son. God was going to give him an heir to the promise. God had blessed him and promised that he would be the father of many nations. Make no mistake about it, Sarah and Abraham were of older age, and it makes it very improbable for natural means to bring fulfillment to such a promise. Friends, the Lord is the source. He is the source of fulfillment for this type of blessing. In fact, when he was given this promise, Abraham was 75 years old and Sarah was 65. And the promise would he would be made into a nation of many. Now listen to this. The length of time that Abraham and Sarah waited for the fulfillment was no less than 25 years until Isaac was born. And so at the event over the next 2 weeks that we're going to look at, you have to understand that 25 years, everything wrapped up and wrought into this event, and God was saying, give this back to me. This wasn't just a flash in a pan. It was 25 years of life, 25 years of struggle, of wrestling with the Lord, 25 years of pleading and crying out to God, 25 years of following and patiently waiting for God to unleash his blessing, 25 years of the unknown, and yet God brings it to pass when Abraham is 100 and Sarah is 90. And the promise was for a son. So look with me at Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 3. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Then God said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and he took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. I want us to just transport our minds back to the frightful day when this edict came down from heaven and fell upon Abraham's ears. Listen to this. Abraham, take now your son. Now picture this. This is 25 years of the coming of the fruition of what God has promised you. And this is what you are hearing. Abraham, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So 25 years, you finally have it. You finally have it in your grasp of what God has promised to you. And now Jesus and God is saying, give it back. It makes no sense. The pain, the anguish, the unknown aspect of what it would mean to yield. These words would have, in fact, been painful to hear and fearfully wrought throughout the mind of the great father of the Israelite nation, Abraham. The thoughts which most likely ran throughout his mind were of the promise of a son and why this was necessary, since finally, after 25 years of struggle, 25 years of waiting, the blessing was finally here. We're not told what went through Abraham's mind, but by his actions, we know where he settled. Abraham chose God. Abraham didn't get here in one swoop, but he chose God time and time and time again throughout his entire life. He chose God in the little things, in the medium things, in the moderate things. And then when he is put to the test to bring glory to God, he chose God again. working with the youth, I tell them often, you better decide in your mind before you come across a temptation or something that you are going to be faced with. Because if you have to decide when you are faced with that temptation, if you have to decide what you're going to do when that comes in front of you, it's too late and you will never decide the right way. Abraham decided beforehand. He set his mind like flint and he said, I am going to choose God. I don't care what it means. We're told in Hebrews that he even knew that even if God allowed him to go through with it, that God was righteous and just and could raise Isaac from the dead. He chose God. And I want us to understand that. I want us to grasp this. I want us to understand that this was not without struggle. This was not without pain. This was full of struggle and full of pain. But he settled and he chose God, and he didn't get here in one swoop. But he cultivated his faith. He cultivated his trust in God, and now he was ready to follow. So the first step to surrender, in surrendering to anything, is a decision of the mind. I recently read an article about the last war individual fighting in World War II had just passed away. And in 1974, some therefore years ago, out in the jungle, he was still fighting the war for 29 years after the war was over. He refused to surrender. He refused to yield. And in fact, the only way that they could get him to put down his gun and say, okay, the war is over, is to bring his commanding chief and officer and say, you are released, you are discharged from your duties. Many times I wonder how much we're in the jungle. How far out are we fighting a war and God says it's already won? We're running around with all these snakes and all these ungodly creatures and doing these things. And God says, hey, why don't you just yield to me and come out of the jungle and I will give you life. I will give you joy. I will give you peace. I will give you freedom. It's a decision of our mind. It's a choice we all have to make. My mind ponders and thinks of the choices Abraham made over the years. He chose to leave his homeland and go. He chose to ratify the covenant with the Lord. He chose to follow the Lord's leading. He, my friends, decided in his mind. He put all things aside and he chose God over everything and anything else. Abraham chose to listen to God and follow directions given to him by the Lord. He chose to gather the wood and having split wood with a wedge and a sledgehammer and even an axe, I understand that's no quick task. Out there splitting the wood, gathering the elements, preparing, and yet he, time in and time out, he chose to follow the Lord. He chose to commit the resources needed to embark upon the trip. Abraham chose or made the decision in his mind to surrender or yield to God. We'll also note in the account of Abraham that he wasn't without failure or fault. Making his decision for God. If you'll recall with me the situation where Abraham took Hagar because the situation came about that Sarah became impatient, Abraham became impatient, and in his own strength sought to bring about the blessing in his own power, in his own strength. He takes Hagar to himself, seeking to bring about this promise of having a son, which was in doubt of God fulfilling that. And this act by Abraham was a failure to choose God. It was a choice that he chose himself. We all get impatient with God, even when he has told us things that he will bring to fruition, some aspect of life. Then we travel outside of God's will and the will of the Heavenly Father, and we seek to bring things into being on our own merit, in our own power, in our own control. Friends, we need to remember, when we fail to choose God, we're always choosing something else. Sometimes we choose ourselves. Sometimes we choose something else. Sometimes we simply choose not to trust God. But yet, know this, when we fail to choose God, we forget and we forfeit what God wants for you and me. You also recall with me after that event, Hagar began to create strife in the home. Abraham forfeited the blessing of God in that choice to walk out and not choose God. He chose himself and said, I'm going to do this thing. God isn't going to act. and he experienced the consequence. Friends, my heart is that you not forfeit what God wants for your life, and what he wants is joy and freedom, and that, my friends, are his will for you and for me. So friends, as we begin our journey looking at surrender, our decision of our mind must be to choose God in our mind, up here, first. Until we choose it, there's a proverb that goes like this: as a man thinks, so he is. As a woman thinks, so she is. You think upon God, your life will reflect that. You think upon the goodness, your life will be full of goodness. As you think, as you choose, as you decide in your mind, as you choose God above all else, you and I are then on the beginning path of surrendering to the Lord. Our decision of our mind must be to choose God and to surrender to his will for our lives. We're going to meet around the Lord's table here this morning, and my hope and my prayer is that I don't know where you're at with your journey with Christ. I don't know if you've surrendered it all, because quite frankly, I don't believe that if anybody tells me they have. I really don't. Because surrendering to God is a lifelong process. Surrendering to God, we all hold things back when we come to Christ. And surrendering to God is saying, I'm going to yield more and more and more of my life to you, Jesus. And so my hope and my prayer is, as we meet around the Lord's table this morning, that you would search your heart, you would search your mind, and allow the Spirit of God to move you to a place where you can more fully decide in your mind to yield, to surrender, to choose God over all else. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word of choosing you. We thank you for the challenge, Jesus. Jesus, we're so thankful and blessed that you chose to surrender to the Heavenly Father, to God the Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we're reminded that you said, not my will, but your will, O Lord, be done. You surrendered, you yielded, and we're blessed by that. Too much to the point where you surrendered your life. We thank you for that. And as remembrance of what you have done, Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to surrender to you, to yield our heart, our mind, and our souls unto you by partaking and meeting around your table. We thank you for the bread and the cup, and we ask that you would bless them and just use them to move us closer and further in our journey with you, Jesus. May you just honor these elements, these sacraments that represent your body and your blood. Meet with us, we ask. Grant us your courage to deal with those elements in life that need to be surrendered to you. May you grant us the boldness to choose you in all facets of life. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.